Okay, so my message today is entitled, Why the Shepherds? I did want to do a Christmassy sort of message, a bit of a fun one, but when I started writing it, God really spoke to me about this. And at this time of year, it's kind of not unusual, is it, to do a bit of extra for charity. You look at the world, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or anyone, people, you know, you'll put a bit of money in a bucket of somebody collecting, or they might, you know, give some money to the homeless person. And that's kind of what we do, you know, you might give a little bit of extra charity, or you might give a little bit of extra in the offering at church if you go. Some people, you know, they go to church or Christmas in weddings and funerals, and that's their kind of church life. And that's kind of acceptable, as long as it doesn't kind of break with our, you know, or get in the way of our own traditions and things we like to do. I'll give a little bit, but as long as it doesn't really affect me. But there's one thing that's clear when you read the story, is that God really doesn't care much for tradition. He breaks in, he consistently and intentionally broke the rules and broke popular tradition. And he did that to bless and exalt the overlooked. So let's look again at the story. The story is in Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. I was quite interested to see Alison share earlier. Obviously, I had no idea where I was going this morning. But not wishing to be beat, I say I have 11 pages, so hopefully I could be longer than Alison this morning. Okay, Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, as it was told to them. Now we need to understand the context here. Mary is accompanied by Joseph. Joseph is her beloved, she loves him and he loves her. And they've gone to Bethlehem, and they're not staying in a swanky hotel suite with a, you know, 42-inch plasma screen or anything like that. They're staying in a shed in the back garden. They're staying in a manger or a cave, we're not too sure. There's a good chance there's animals there. You know, it probably stinks, the hay, I'm guessing, probably wasn't fresh. But they've got somewhere to stay. And whilst Mary's labouring with the birth of her son, God's probably in heaven, you know. I'd imagine God's like pacing up and down in heaven, like the dutiful father. Like, come on, what's going on? You know, he knows what's going to happen, but he kind of probably did it anyway. And he sees, you can see him in the corridor of heaven. Come on, what's going on? And through it comes the delivery of a beautiful boy. He's wrapped in the clothing, as the angel said, to keep him warm. And God the Father has a job to spread the good news. Now, I was going to show a clip now, but I couldn't get it in any form of quality. I would have been embarrassed to show the only clip I could find. It was basically a guy filmed a television without a tripod, so it was kind of going like that the whole time. But it was a clip from Only Fools and Horses. Is anyone, if you're probably familiar with it, it's the clip where Del Boy, or Raquel's in labour, and Del Boy is in the hospital. Rodney and Uncle Albert are outside. And she has the baby, he comes out, and Rodney says, "Come on, what is it? And Del Boy says, "It's a baby!" You know, and it's kind of like, that's in comedy, but it's kind of like the dad's job to kind of announce the birth. And in the Bible, it's exactly the same. It's God's job to announce the birth of Jesus. And that's what he does, and he does it like no one else. And I think You know, we might expect heaven to break forth. There might be, you know, angels all over the world, you know, clanging of cymbals and a massive party going on. This was new, it was exciting, it was the first time God had been born, son born onto earth. It was going to change the world. But there was a twist, wasn't there? And there's always a twist when it comes to things of God. And the twist was this. There was no angelic birth announcement to kings and queens. Didn't go anywhere. You imagine if when the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge had Prince George and Princess Catherine, Charlotte. I had to look it up. I got it wrong. It's a baby. I'm a man. It's just like, it's a baby. I don't need to know the detail. Whenever anyone has a baby, Nick always asks me the detail. I don't know. It's a baby. It's a boy. That's detail enough. But, you know, when they had it, I'm pretty sure that they would have sent out, probably the Queen would have sent out announcements to heads of state that the heir to the throne had been born. There would have been some formal announcement. You know, there's the easel at Buckingham Palace to tell the country. I'm guessing there would have been formal announcements to presidents around the world and heads of state. But God doesn't do that, does he? God sends an angel and he sends it to the shepherds, not to the kings and queens. You know, he doesn't, you know, the Queen probably didn't send any announcements out to the local, you know, truck drivers, the local bin man. You know, they just found out second, third hand. But God's formal announcement came in the way of an angel. There in Bethlehem was born, not just any old heir, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one person who's going to change all of human history. Yet the mayor of Bethlehem never got the announcement. The high priest in Jerusalem, he missed that as well. Caesar and the members of the royal court, they weren't told. Palace doesn't hear, the temple doesn't hear, Jerusalem doesn't hear. Birth announcement that God gave was to a group of sheep herders sitting on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. So the question that God gave me was, why the shepherds? Why not the more noble recipients? Why? It's glorious news. Why waste it on the shepherds? There's sure many reasons, but I'm going to look at just two, if I can. The first one is this. By giving the message of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, God intentionally provides a glimpse into the nature of Jesus' ministry as the good shepherd. And the second one, this. God intentionally seeks out and uses those that society consistently overlook, disregard, and count out. So let's look at the first. By appearing to the shepherds, God emphasizes Jesus' connection with shepherding. There's a connection between shepherding and the life and the ministry of Jesus. If we think about our own British heraldry, our kings and queens and princes pretty much all serve in the armed forces. That's kind of the expected route they'll take. You know, the Queen served in the armed forces, Prince William, Prince Harry, and all their former kings before them. Yet Jesus was going to be a shepherd, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. So God wanted to announce that. Moses and David were once shepherds before becoming a great prophet and king. Abel, the first acceptable worshipper after the fall, was a shepherd. In Exodus 3, we read of Moses being called while shepherding the flock of his father Jethro. King David's shepherd boy, who rose from shepherding to be the king of a great nation. Psalm 78, verse 70 says, "He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands." God had in times raised up shepherds to great places. It was tradition within Israel, and Jesus was going to be no different. He would be the shepherd of shepherds. Jesus embraced that description as a shepherd. He called himself the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will leave the sheep because they aren't his and he isn't their shepherd. But so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is merely hired and has no real concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. By first announcing the birth of Christ to the shepherds, God gave us a glimpse into the type of ministry Jesus would undertake. Jesus would be a shepherd, and it would be hard work. He wouldn't have a day off. He'd work all year round, shepherding his herd. The sheep need constant attention. You know, if sheep aren't looked after, they wander off. There's lots of stories in the Bible about the sheep that wandered off. You can look at it that way. And we know that if we don't spend time with Jesus, trouble's going to find us. We'll wander off. We're no different to the sheep in that context, in that sense. If you're not keeping close to Jesus, trouble will seek you out. Shepherds were, because they had to be, committed to their work. It's one of George's six C's, commitment. And just as shepherds were the ones who loved their sheep entirely, so would Jesus love his sheep entirely. He would protect them against any foe. The shepherds had to fight wild animals to protect their sheep, and Jesus would stand and ultimately die for us. He cared about his people. He was dedicated to bringing them under his care. It's another one of those C's, of course. And secondly, or rather the second part of part one, Jesus would be the Lamb of God. So not only would Jesus be the shepherd, but he'd also be the Lamb as well. When we look back, we can see that God appeared to the shepherds because he knew that his son would be the good shepherd. He'd have to pay the ultimate price as the lamb for his sheep. He'd have to lay down his life for theirs. Now, it's likely that the shepherds were just outside the city. You know that they were on the hill, and there's a reason for that. They were there. Most shepherds were way out into the countryside, but these shepherds weren't. They were fairly close to Bethlehem, and the reason for that is most likely that the sheep that they were looking after were bred for purpose. They weren't bred just to be eaten. They weren't bred for their wool. They were almost certainly being bred as sacrificial lambs. They were near to the city. They were, you know, that was their marketplace, if you like, was the temple. And so it makes sense that God notifies these particular shepherds as well. They're not any old shepherds. They're the shepherds bringing up the sacrificial lambs. Jesus ultimately would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, as it said in Isaiah. He'd be the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist would one day proclaim, take away the sin of the world. For to you this day in the city of David is born to you a Saviour. See, in one event, in one person, the shepherd and the lamb were born. The shepherds were really important. Temple sacrifices would be brought to an end. The spotless lamb had been born. The second point that comes across clearly, and the one that most to do with where we're at currently as a church, I believe, is this. We don't have many shepherds on the common. I don't know if you still have to have shepherds on the common at any point, keep it as a common. I know in Syston they have to still put sheep on the common every now and again. So it stays a common, it can't be taken away then. And the Downs in central Bristol, they still put sheep on the Downs, I think once a year. So it remains a common place. That's completely offbeat. Track, random facts. Feel free to write it down and use it again in polite conversation. The second point, nothing to do with that, is God intentionally uses the overlooked as messengers of the good news. So it might help to look again at shepherding. When we think of shepherd figures, we think of the nativity. You know, the shepherds are, they're like kind of little cute, aren't they? Little holy faces. They've got their calf kits and tea towels on their head. You know, and they go, oh, aren't they cute, lovely? I tell you now, in biblical times, shepherds were not like that. They probably did not wear calf kits and tea towels on their head. Not even Asda George. They were rough. They were smelly. They certainly weren't cute. They were sheep herders. They lived with their animals. They were pretty much social outcasts. They weren't the clean-cut altar boys that we think of now when we think of the shepherds in the Nativity. They didn't fit in with the culture either. So they were always travelling. The sheep moved around, shepherds moved around. They moved with their sheep, they slept with their sheep, they smelt like their sheep. They didn't have a 9-to-5 job, which meant, you know, they just didn't fit into that social, you know, they weren't 2.4 kids in a nice car and a, you know, swing in the back garden. That wasn't who they were. They were, I don't know, I guess more like the homeless people that we see sleeping rough today. They had a reputation for being thieves. They couldn't be trusted. You certainly wouldn't want the shepherds counting the offering at the end of the service. They didn't look good. They didn't smell good. They were unsophisticated, uneducated. They were also religiously unclean. In Jewish times, you had to go to a temple regularly. You had to go through purification rituals to be able to go into the temple. Because the shepherds moved around their job, they couldn't get to temple regularly. So they weren't allowed in the temple. They were unclean people. They were seen as being unclean. You know, if they turned up at temple, they'd have got one of those looks, you know, that sort of, when somebody slightly doesn't quite fit in, comes in, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're really welcome. Just sit at the back and there, nobody else. You know, we've heard it, New Wine, haven't we, Simon Ponsonby talking about the guy coming with a dog. Have you heard that story? There's a guy comes with a dog and he gets told he's a man with a dog. And he just wants to get him out. He doesn't fit into their, you know, their middle-class church. He smells, get him out. You know, and he's rebuked by that, incidentally, and by the senior leader. And but that's how we'd feel sometimes. We kind of like, yeah, we want to help people, but we want to do it outside. We don't really want them breaking in to our lives. They weren't the middle-class people we'd like to see. They were country people. They were rural folk. They hadn't had the latest gadgets. They didn't have iPads or iPhones. They had old-fashioned Bibles, probably, if they had a Bible at all. They carried a rod and a staff. And that was probably all they owned, other than their sheep. You can see why they were scared when the angel arrived. It says they were terrified. You know, if you were a shepherd and an angel, well, if you were anyone and an angel appeared, you'd probably be slightly worried, I'm guessing. Kind of not an everyday occurrence. I don't know if anyone here's had an angel appear. You can imagine how you'd react if one did. I think I'd probably be quite scared. Just a quick double check of what have I done wrong. It's a natural position, isn't it? You know, it's that you take. But they were also seen, they'd been told that they were unclean. They weren't worthy. That's how they saw themselves. And yet the angel comes to them. So you can understand why they were scared. So see, an angel must be pretty nuts. Now listen to the words again. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, that's the key bit, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news, not bad news, not judgment, not condemnation, of great joy that will be for all the people, even you. No special treatment with God. Today in the town of David, a shepherd, once just like you, a saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." And it was for the overlooked, is it for the overlooked of the world that heaven lit up? And the announcement came. God announced the birth of Jesus. He threw on the heavenly switches and lit up the Christmas decorations of heaven. And why did he do it to the shepherds? He did it because Jesus was going to be a shepherd, because Jesus was going to be the lamb, because they were unclean. The message was that Jesus came for all, no matter what social standing you were. But he also did it for this, and most importantly, he did it because by announcing it to the shepherds, all the glory went to God. You see, if God's not interested in inflated egos, he used his power that the world considered second rate. He showed his power to the people that the world considered second rate so that he would be glorified and that he would get all the glory. God uses unlikely means sometimes to convey his glory, to convey his message of salvation. because it silences the so-called experts. He didn't go to the religious leaders, because they'd have looked into it, they'd have challenged it, they'd have debated it. The shepherds just accepted it. And they went and they saw, and when they saw, they then went and told everybody else. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29 says this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I want to end with a story. I read it this week. It's nobody I know. It's a story I... But it kind of emphasises God's heart sometimes. It's a story about a lady who was shamed and brought closer to God by someone the world would generally overlook. We were the only family with children in the restaurant. I sat Eric in a high chair and noticed everyone was quietly eating and talking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, "Hi there." He wiggled and giggled with merriment, a man with a tattered rag of a coat, dirty, greasy and worn. His trousers were baggy with a zipper at half-mast and his toes poked out through his worn-out shoes. His shirt was dirty and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were not quite a beard and varicose veins charted a complex map across his nose. We were too far away to smell him, but I'm pretty sure he smelled. His hands waved at my baby. "Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy. I see you, Buster." The man said to Eric. My husband and I didn't know exactly what to do. Eric continued to laugh and answer, hi there. Our meal finally came, and the drunken geezer began shouting across the room. "Do you know Patty Cake? Do you know Peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows Peekaboo." No one thought the old man was cute. My husband and I were embarrassed, frankly. Eric, on the other hand, was running through his repertoire of tricks, all of which were aimed at the man. We finally got through the meal. My husband went to pay. Eric and I headed to the door. The old man was poised between me and the door, and I uttered a prayer, "Lord, just get me out of here before he speaks to me or Eric." As I drew close to the man, I turned my back, trying to sidestep him and avoid any air he might be breathing. As I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching with boy's arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms to the man's. Eric, in an act of total trust, love and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged, slightly skanky shoulder. The man's eyes closed and I saw tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, full of grime, pain and hard labour, gently, so gently, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and set squarely on mine. He said in a firm, commanding voice, "You take care of this baby." Somehow I managed, "I will," from a throat that contained a stone. I received my baby, and the man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my Christmas gift." So I ran to my car. My husband wondered why I was crying and saying, my God, forgive me." You see, the ragged old man had unwittingly reminded me, to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as little children. You see, you can relate to the shepherds, the overlooked. Maybe you've been looked at with suspicion, looked at and led to believe you're not worthy of God's grace, God's love. But here's the angel's message for you. For you, a saviour is born. Christ the Lord, embrace him. Maybe you have a hard time relating to the people like the shepherds. Maybe you relate more to the overlooking than with those who are overlooked. Do you relate more with the social elite, the upper middle class, the professional? God wants us to remember that we're all equal in God's eyes. No social levels, no special levels. And God's calling you to honour the overlooked. Just look for ways to reach out the world ignores. Amen. Amen.